Barry Hill, representing the Forest Service. And Tyrone Kelly, I believe, also.
Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity to appear before the board here, Mr. Chairman, as well as the members and executive director. First, I'm Tyrone Kelly, Forest Supervisor in the Six Rivers National Forest, and I am a part of what we term in the Forest Service a provincial setup for the other four forests. So I'd also like to thank my colleagues' behalf from the Shasta Trinity National Forest, the Mendocino National Forest, and the Klamath National Forest. Sharon Haywood, Tom Contreras, and Patty Grantham in that order of four supervisors. First, I want to thank you for the extension of the waiver during the period, the gap between the old waiver and us developing a new waiver here for our civil cultural practices on national forests here. So that's been very good for us, especially in these times as we're looking not only at the Recovery Act projects and trying to deal with emerging issues as they come forward, but as we look forward to our vegetation management program as well as our fuel reduction program, which is huge and is covered by this waiver, it's very important to us as we go forward. As being from the Six Rivers National Forest, I can't speak highly or more highly of the need to protect not only our water quality, but the quantity of water that is coming off the national forest. And so our relationship with this board here on the North Coast has been exceptional, and we want to continue that good, close working relationship with you as we move forward. Our staffs have been working closely on the extension of the waiver, and so that's been a real positive dialogue, and we look forward to continuing that dialogue as we progress. With that, I would like to also say that we, again, look at this opportunity to work with you and how important it is for us and our veg and fuels management program. We have quite a bit of work that we're continuing to do in that relationship. And so that said, I won't go any farther. I'm here with Barry Hill, who's a regional hydrologist for California, our Region 5, and I'll turn it to him.
Thanks, Tyrone, and thank you to the members of the board and staff. My name is Barry Hill. As Tyrone said, I'm a hydrologist with the Forest Service Regional Office in Vallejo. I would like to second Tyrone's appreciation of the letter that was issued by your executive officer that got us through that period when the waiver had expired. That was very critical for a number of projects we had that were ongoing and were needed to continue to treat fuels within the North Coast region. So I do appreciate that very much. Also, as Tyrone alluded, we are working with the board staff. We've already had some initial discussions, and while it would be incorrect to say that we see eye to eye on everything, I think that we're making a lot of progress, and that I anticipate that we will be able to reach a good outcome that will allow us to move ahead with our vegetation management treatments in the future. And just want to acknowledge the work of your staff and appreciate the board's doing here. The fuels management issues that we're facing are substantial and in our view present a great threat to water quality, and so being able to take aggressive action is going to be very important for us in the future. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Board questions? I have another speaker card, so do you want Felice Pace?
My name is Felice Pace, and today I'm representing EPIC, the Environmental Protection Information Center, on this particular item. I'm going to distribute to you a letter from the EPIC, the Institute for Fisheries Resource, Pacific Coast Federation of Fishermen's Association, and Klamath Forest Alliance that is input on the proposed categorical waiver. I want to start by pointing out that number one, the importance of the National Forest watersheds. The National Forest watersheds are providing the refugia, not all of them, but some of them are providing the refugia for our salmon species. And the cold water inputs to, for example, the Klamath River that are keeping coho alive in that system, and other salmon species as well. So these watersheds are tremendously important. But the fact that they are generally in better shape than, for example, the industrial forest watersheds does not mean that they are compliant. And in general, they're not. And in fact, as somebody who has monitored national forests in Northwest California for going on to 30 years, I can tell you that even since the adoption of the Northwest Forest Plan, several of those watersheds have gone downhill in terms of water quality and have not been able to recover because of ongoing, not just legacy impacts, but new impacts. Right now, for example, there's a proposal in the Elk Creek watershed. It's a key watershed that goes into the Klamath River at Happy Camp, and it comes out of the wilderness, Marble Mountain Wilderness. But there's a proposal to salvage log on very steep and very unstable granitic, decomposed granite slopes after the fire has already impacted that watershed, after a lot of salvage logging we've had from 87 and several subsequent fires, after private logging, green logging, and after wildfire impacts, some of which are the direct result of the techniques chosen to fight fires, including the fact that backfires and burnouts ordered by forest supervisors and more or less doubled the size of the fires in Northern California under this last thing. So just I want to briefly alert you to the issues and then distribute the letter and let you get on with the other business. We have been working with the staff, and we want to continue working with the staff. We've suggested working sessions of bringing together Forest Watch people and Forest Service people to talk about what's needed to make the waiver more effective. One of the concerns is that when, under the old waiver, when there have been activities in watersheds over threshold for cumulative impacts, which we have a lot of in this region, those are supposed to be monitored. But there's no evidence in the record, as far as we can tell from our staff interactions, that they have been monitored for impacts or that those reports have been provided. Staff estimated 4 to 6 projects. The Forest Watch people that are doing it now on these forests tell me there are many more than that. And that's the first thing we got to get a handle on. But the issues that we have identified, scope of the proposed waiver, there are many ground-disturbing activities on the national forests, and timber-related is only one of them. But the whole road system, most of the road system, is related to timber extraction and is not open for public use, but nevertheless it's used. So one of the things is, how are we regulating these other activities that are potentially degrading? And does it make sense to do separate waivers or separate ways of regulating these things, or does it make sense to expand the scope of the waiver to talk about impacts on national forest land that are potentially degrading to water quality? That I don't know the answer to that, but that's something that I think needs to be talked about with staff, with the Forest Service, and so forth. The second issue we've identified is failure to maintain the transportation system. Even though the majority of the roads are not open for public use, a lot of those roads, and they're not maintained, except when they're going to be used for an extractive activity like timber harvest. They're not maintained, but a lot of them are open during hunting season for use. A lot of them are used by OHV people, and they're used year-round for administrative use. So, you know, the fact that the Forest Service has 25% or less in this region of the money they need to maintain the road system to standard is a major issue. And when you don't maintain a road, you know, there's a lot of talk about storm-proofing roads. There's no such thing as a storm-proof road, and the empirical studies back this up all the way. But you can lower the maintenance needs through design, but you can't eliminate them. So if we have unmaintained roads, sooner or later those roads are going to be delivering sediment, usually in our big storm events. They had something like 300 road sites that failed just on the Klamath National Forest in one storm. The 1997 storm was only a 25-year storm. Issue number three, so we have recommendations for each of these, and recommendations for two is in order to adequately protect water quality in the National Forest waiver, it must address the road maintenance issue. That's critical. It's part of timber extraction. Most of the road system is there for that reason. And we should also address the use and impacts of temporary roads, which are the new way that the Forest Service is doing things, a lot of temporary roads. What are their impacts, and how are they managed, and should they be managed under the waiver? The third issue is failure to protect unstable and potentially unstable lands from logging and road building. And this was an issue in the Northwest Forest Plan. It says protect unstable and potentially unstable lands, but the Forest Service is not doing this. The big earth flows that fail catastrophically and deliver most of the sediment to the streams that the empirical information indicates are more likely to fail when roads are built on them and when logging is done on them. These areas are not protected as riparian reserves, so the waiver is going to have to address them. Recommendation number four, if the waiver is going to be effective, I should say, it needs to address those. And that's the recommendation, address them. Salvage logging is a major issue which needs to be addressed, including its relationship to wildfire and fire suppression, which is fire suppression is a human impact. And anybody who's flown over the, or read the newspapers for that matter, flown over the Shasta Trinity National Forest after the last fire would recognize that. Cumulative watershed impacts, we discussed earlier, but we have three recommendations on that. The allowance of, for one thing, there seems to be a conflict with the basin plan where it says when past activities, including natural events, have resulted in violation of a basin plan standard, there's a zero discharge allowed. And so, you know, we need to look at those, get those monitoring reports on those watersheds over threshold and see if that basin plan standard was met. New waiver should address the failure of the current waiver to fully implement the basin plan, and that's what I just talked about. The board should require staff to determine and report on how many acres of logging and road building, including temporary roads, occurred in the watersheds over threshold for cumulative watershed impacts under the existing waiver. We need to know how the existing waiver has performed. And we don't really, as far as I can tell from staff doesn't have that information at this point. The seventh issue, grazing, mining, motorized recreation, and other ground disturbing activities should be included. I already addressed that in terms of scope. And that's it. So let me just, unless there are any questions, I'll just distribute the letter to you, and I have a couple for staff, and we could go on. Any questions?
Board member questions?
Well, we look forward to working. Right. Go ahead, John. I'm sorry. No. Oh, okay. We look forward to working with the staff and with the board on this.
Okay. We have before us item three, which is
Mr. Chairman, I think there was a staff amendment on the date that this is not an unlimited waiver, but a very time-prescribed waiver. Is that correct?
And if we could state it then, that amendment?
Yeah. Well, I'll move the waiver as amended with the date certain, and then I have some comments when we're after, done with our vote.
Second.
I thought I heard a second.
We did. Yeah. Mr. Massey, second. I wanted to get in the record the date certain. Carol, read it out. We've got it up here, Carol.
It says, uh, the following changes to the draft permit circulated to the board. On page 1, under finding number 5 of the tentative permit, add the following termination date. The regional board has reviewed the terms of the current waiver and determined the terms are adequate for the purpose of the temporary extension of the expiration date. The expiration date is extended to no later than December 10, 2009.
Okay. We're okay if you're okay.
We're fine with it.
Okay. We have a motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, comments very briefly. One, to those in the audience that things are left out of the waiver, the approach that's been started out in the triennial review and then followed up in our sediment plan is to handle each and every sediment by category of activity. So just because something is not in this timber waiver does not mean that it's not on the sediment plan. I wanted to thank staff for upping the priority steadily over the years of this issue and responding to the regional board comments on that. It is 55% of the timber harvested in our region or lands within our region, and so it's critically important. And I also wanted to thank the state board for allowing a regional approach. I know that was actively discussed, and I believe because of the level of impairments and other things under 303D in our region, it was warranted to allow a regional approach. And again, I think in the past waiver, we reserved permit and water quality in-stream authority to the state of California and the regional board, and I believe that's important provisions in going forward.
Ms. Coleman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know if Mr. Feiler or Mr. Alpert would like to talk about, just in a couple of sentences, what the work that's going on with the U.S. Forest Service for non-timber activities.
Good morning. My name is Mark Alpert. I'm a recently returned senior engineering geologist for the Southern Timber Unit. Stormer Feiler's handling the revision to the timber permit, or what we call the non-federal timber permit. So really, first, we heard a lot of comments this morning. Right in front of you is really just the extension in time so we can get the revision.
Yes.
Stormer is working on that. We are planning. You know, we've met periodically with the Forest Service. If we can meet with other groups that Felicia Pace is talking about, I think that would be good. But it is, you know, there's nothing, there's no revision out on the street on this federal one for review. The non-federal one, which we heard comments on, is out. It's been out, I'd say, less than 2 weeks. And it's in the review process, so we are looking forward to getting these comments.